Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
Wow, you guys are really alive this morning. There's so much energy and chatter in the room here at the very end of summer. So it's good to hear that. I know the children and teens are so ready for school to start back, right? That's all the excitement that we're hearing. Let me back up and say good morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Joette Steger and I welcome you to worship here at Western Boulevard Presbyterian on this cooler summer day. Maybe that's where all our energy is coming from as well. So it is good to be together in God's house this morning. I'm looking around and I see some visitors, and I want to welcome you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ and pray that you feel the presence of the Lord in this place as we all do, and pray that you will come back to see us on another Sunday. Members, that's your cue to find your friendship pads and pass those along, and note those that you'll want to greet at the end of worship this morning. As you do that, I'm pulling out our weekly update, and let me highlight just a couple of things here. The first is to, I hope you have on your calendars, September 9th. Can you say that with me? September 9th.
September 9th.
That's the big day where everything kicks back off here at Western Boulevard. That is Rally Day, and we begin with a great breakfast prepared by our men of the church in the Fellowship Hall starting at 8:45. Then lots to share after breakfast about all the educational and programmatic activities happening this coming year. So I hope you'll join us on Rally Day. And then don't want you to miss that we've got another Jazz Vespers and afternoon worship today at 5 o'clock. So if you haven't been to one of these, we've been offering them once a month through the summer. You don't want to miss this one. It's just a great way to kind of a contemplative type service to reflect on the wonder and majesty and mystery of God with some outstanding live jazz music. So come if you haven't been yet. Or come if you have been. We'd love to see you there. Now, as I flip over to the back of our weekly update, there is just so much here that is talking about all the things that are coming up. So I'm just praying that you will take this home and take some time to read it or look for your weekly emails that come in as well and try to keep up with everything coming your way. But there is one more thing that I want to say, and that is a shout out to our property committee. Kevin Fisher, Jimmy Wade, and so many others on that committee, and so many others that have been helping them with our education building renovations. They have been working hours and hours and very hard. I'm hearing Kevin, for some even like you, till 2 in the morning over in the education building. And so there's still a lot has been done. They're pushing to get everything or as much as possible done before Rally Day. So if you haven't been here to help and would like to help them meet that deadline, see Kevin after worship or Jimmy Wade after worship, or their emails, I think, or Kevin. Yeah, both emails are listed here in your weekly update. I think that's enough said. Just please pay attention to everything else that's here. Let us now pay attention to our worship this morning. Oh, Jane.
I just wanted to say that I will be signing up people, if you have not signed up already, for the pictorial directory to get your picture taken. I will be doing that right outside.
Great, Jane. I'm glad you said that, because your appointment times are filling up. So
yeah,
stop with Jane this afternoon right after worship, or go online. Thanks, Jane. We look forward to our new pictorial directory. So now let us prepare our hearts, minds, and souls for our worship of God this morning as Elijah Krakus brings in the light of Christ.
Thank you.
Please join with me now in our responsive call to worship. What a pleasure and privilege it is to worship in God's dwelling place, a place of refreshing springs and of natural beauty, of safety and of acceptance.
We are here to receive God's Spirit and life.
What an amazing covenant community we are as we find shelter and solace, challenge and encouragement.
We are here to face our fears and to sing of God's goodness.
What love God showers on us as we seek a home, a relationship, and a life that exemplifies the gospel of peace, hope, and freedom.
We are here to take our place as we walk in the way of Jesus Christ.
The Holy One of God awaits our praise, receives our allegiance, and blesses our lives. Let us worship God. That separate us from ourselves and from our neighbors, from our family members, and especially from God. But we are all children of God, and as children of God, we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence and ask for God's forgiveness. So please, as fellow children with me, join in this prayer printed in our bulletins. Gracious God,
you have given us your words of eternal life. Forgive us for talking too lightly this gift. for hearing your word but not obeying your will, for treating your word as just one among many, for choosing that which pleases us and ignoring that which challenges us, for allowing the noise of our busy lives your loving voice, for keeping silent instead of shouting aloud the truth of your rule and the wonder of your love. For these and all our sins, we pray, forgive us, O God.
Sisters, hear the good news. Who is there to condemn us? There's no one. No one but Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus, he died for us. He rose from the dead from us. He ascended to heaven. He sits on the right hand of God from us. He lives for us, and he prays for us. He prays for us. He's praying for us now. And so, because of his relationship with us, we have been forgiven. We've been reconciled with God. We are reconciled with each other, and we can share that peace that only Christ can give with each other, saying, "The peace of Christ be with you."
May be seated, except boys and girls, you know where to go. Come be seated with me.
Riley.
Hey, we got a lot of us back in town. Why is that? What's starting tomorrow for a lot of you? School. And as I was saying earlier, are you really excited about that? How are you feeling about school? No. Well, I know some folks that are pretty excited about that. And that's probably your parents are a little bit happy about you starting back to school, right? So, any of you feeling a little nervous about that? Going back to school? Anybody feeling a little bit afraid about that? No? You guys are really confident. Oh, okay, Chris. You're surrounded by a lot of friends that you already know, so it feels pretty comfortable for you going back. Well, it didn't always feel that way for me. Sometimes I was a little nervous about my first day of school and all those decisions I knew that I would have to make. And some of those were pretty easy decisions, like, well, not always, but like what you're going to wear the first day of school, right? Maybe girls worry about that a little bit more than guys. What we're going to wear the first day of school, because we want to make this good first impression, right? Pretty easy decision. Where you're going to sit when you walk into your classroom. Now, for some of you, your teachers may already have a desk with your name on it, right? So you don't have any choice there. But for others of you, you may walk in and have to decide, am I going to sit towards the front or the middle or the back? And of course, then when you get to the cafeteria, you may have to decide what you're going to eat for lunch if you haven't taken your lunch with you. So you've got some pretty easy decisions about your first day, but then there's some harder decisions as you start back to school. For example, if you aren't going back, if you don't know a lot of the folks that are there, as Chris does, you're going to be meeting a lot of new friends, and you're going to be making a decision about who your friends are going to be. And that's a pretty big decision, because some of us can pick out the wrong kind of friends that can get us into a lot of trouble. So deciding who your friends are going to be is a pretty big decision. Pretty big decision is whether you're going to obey the list of rules that your teacher may have up on the wall, right? Another decision, am I going to obey all of those rules? And let's see, any other tough decisions y'all can think of in school? I know one. If you don't understand what the teacher is saying or teaching you at that moment, you've got a decision to make. Whether you're just going to be quiet and not say anything, not tell her or him that you don't understand, or whether you're going to let your teacher know that you don't understand. That's a pretty big decision. So I wanted you to know, as you're thinking about going back to school and some of these choices that you're going to have to make, that Jesus' followers also had a lot of choices. We all have a lot of choices to make. And they had some pretty big decisions to make that weren't always easy. And they let Jesus know that at times, that they really didn't understand what he was saying and that this is a pretty difficult thing to do. And so it wasn't easy for them, some of the decisions and the choices that they were making. There was one time I'm getting ready to read about in the Bible where the disciples really said, this teaching is too difficult for us. But yet Jesus' closest followers said, we don't really understand it, Jesus, but we're still going to hang with you. We're still going to follow you. That was a big decision they made. That even though it's not always easy to follow Jesus, they chose to stay with him and to follow him. And that's my prayer for you guys and for me and for all of our church family and our parents out here, is that we will always choose to follow Jesus, even when the following gets pretty hard to do. Because I tell you why, there's nobody else that will ever love you as much as Jesus loves you. And there is nowhere else that you will ever find the kind of life that Jesus offers to you. So I pray that you will always choose to follow Jesus. Will you pray with me now? Oh God, life is full of choices and decisions, and I pray that you will help these boys and girls with decisions that they have to make as they go back to school, that they would be good ones, and I pray that you will help them have the strength to make the decision to follow you each and every day of their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'll be praying for you guys tomorrow, and I look forward to hearing about it next week.
Thank you.
Joe Sturdivant, that was magnificent. And friends, if that doesn't grab your heart, I don't know what will. So thank you so much, Joe, sharing your incredible gift of voice and faith with us this morning. I invite you now to turn to the Gospel of John. My friends, we've been working through primarily the Gospel of Mark this year, but the last month or so we've been in parts of the Gospel of John and have spent a few weeks on this long chapter, John chapter 6. And in this chapter, there's been a lot of discussion about Jesus as the bread of life. And so I am, as you all follow along, reading the conclusion of this chapter where there comes a little bit of confusion about Jesus' words. So I invite you now to hear God's word to us from John chapter 6. I'm actually going to read verse 51 and then jump down to 56. And Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever." Now he said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, 'For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father.' Well, because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus turned to the 12 and asked them, 'Do you also wish to go away?' And Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God.'" This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. I love Wallace Bubar's opening comments as he reflects on this particular passage in this week's Christian Century magazine. Wallace, by the way, is pastor of Overbrook Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. And this is what he had to say as he began to talk about this passage. So what was Jesus thinking? He had such a great following before he spoke these words. He just fed 5,000 people, and they were ready to sign up to become his disciples. This would have been the time to use his best preaching material, to toss out a few beatitudes or tell a couple of stories about farmers or sheep. Jesus could have had the biggest church in town. But instead, he launched into this ridiculously long, convoluted discourse about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, which, let's face it, sounds pretty creepy. And when he was confronted by raised eyebrows and expressions of bewilderment and a barrage of questions, Jesus didn't let up, but just kept getting more and more obscure. So no wonder his followers started grumbling. This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it? And many turned away and went home, never to be seen again. And Jesus let them go, Wallace exclaims. He let them go. He let them just wander off and made no attempt to stop them. He didn't say, "Hey, hold on a second. Let me break it down for you." He didn't offer a Jesus for dummies version of things. He left his followers with their questions unanswered, apparently preferring to just let them go off and wrestle with those questions rather than give them easy answers or a user-friendly faith. Well, friends, personally, I have to confess that there are times that I tire from wrestling with faith questions and would pay big money for a Jesus for Dummies explanation book. Like just a few days ago, a young man was in my office wrestling with why God didn't answer his prayers and the prayers of hundreds of others who were praying for healing for his mother who recently died of cancer. That's one of those faith questions that most of us have wrestled with many times. And I would love to have been able to say, "Well, here's the answer for you," instead of admitting that there are some things that we'll just never fully understand until we meet God face to face. So who can blame those we hear about in this passage who turned back from following Jesus? Now notice that John calls them disciples, not simply the crowds as he refers to them in earlier passages. These were real followers who had probably been around for a while and had given up a lot to follow Jesus. But they had grown tired, you see. Tired, as David Lowe says, of all the waiting and watching and wondering and worrying. And they could no longer see clearly what it was about Jesus that attracted them to him in the first place. Their journey of faith had become just too hard and too gray. And so they turned back. And which of us has not at one time or another done that or been tempted to do that? Perhaps it was while sitting bedside with a family member in the hospital with a fatal diagnosis, or waking up alone and wondering why your spouse has left you, or standing in line at the unemployment office and wondering how you ended up there, or seeing a starving, emaciated child in Haiti who won't be around when and if relief finally comes. Friends, it's at times like these that our faith is sorely tested. And we wonder whether we have believed in vain. Well, as John goes on to say, When Jesus saw so many that were deserting him, he turned to the 12 and asked if they too wished to go away. Because he clearly understood that following him was no picnic, and that they might want to opt out like everyone else. He really was giving them the chance at this moment to opt out. But that's when Peter spoke up, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life." I agree with Wallace Buber that Peter's words have a hint of exasperation in them, almost as if he were shrugging his shoulders and throwing his arms up in the air and exclaiming something like, "Look, Jesus, we don't completely understand you either, but what other choice do we have? Where else can we go?" His, you see, is a declaration of faith in an ambiguous world like ours, and for people like us who don't understand everything about Jesus and have plenty of unanswered questions, but keep hanging in there with him anyway. I love how Barbara Brown Taylor speaks of Peter here. She says, "As confusing as Jesus is at this moment, Peter has glimpsed something in him that he cannot turn away from. He has glimpsed God. And if trusting that means struggling with a whole lot of distasteful things that go with it, then Peter will consent to the struggle. He will not give up the truth he has found, even if it comes tucked in a box full of spiders. He will not go away from the life he has been led to, even if it is miles from the life he thought he wanted." You know, friends, it's pretty easy to find an easier Lord to serve. If you want religion to make you feel really comfortable, I certainly don't recommend Christianity, C.S. Lewis said. But friends, though the path of discipleship is convoluted, confusing, frightening, and difficult at times, somewhere along that path, truth can be found. Somewhere along that path, life can be found. Somewhere along that path, God meets us. I heard a colleague once talking about what a great blackberry picker his grandmother was. How many of you have ever picked blackberries? Right? Many of you. So you know that it is hard work. The chiggers bite and the blackberry briars scratch, and sometimes the tips of those blackberry thorns embed in your fingertips. Well, my colleague went on to talk about his grandmother's berry-picking dress that she kept at their house, because they live right next door to a field that was packed with wild blackberries. And he started remembering how her dress looked, how her dress was this faded print whose hem was ripped out after years of crawling through barbed wire fences to get to the berries, and how it was stained with blackberry juice and a few little spots of blood where she had wiped her hands. And then he said this,
about her blackberry picking dress. You know, that was the garment of her humanity. A tangible sign that there are many thorns in life, and that life can be simultaneously hard and nourishing, paradoxically imperfect, yet grace-filled. And isn't that what Peter was also saying in his declaration of faith? That life can be simultaneously hard and confusing, but nourishing, and paradoxically imperfect, yet grace-filled. Well, you may have been so jarred by the flesh-eating and blood-drinking in this passage that you totally missed these most important words that Jesus said, "Abide in me. Abide in me." And ultimately, that's what Jesus is inviting his disciples then and now to do in this passage, to take him into ourselves, to make him a part of who we are, and in so doing, to let go, to turn over to him that which we don't understand, that which we cannot control, trusting that we are deeply loved, trusting that we are not alone, trusting that God will be in the picking of berries, in the thorn, in the flesh, in the briar that surrounds. Where else can we turn? Only Jesus. Only Jesus has the words of eternal life. Hallelujah and amen. So in response to God's word read and proclaimed, let us stand to our feet as we are able and say what it is that we believe about God, using one of the most ancient creeds in the Christian church, the Apostles' Creed, found on page 14 in the front of your hymnals. Friends, what is it that you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Thank you.
clap on that chorus, right? Well, friends, we've had an uptick in pastoral concerns this week, so let me see if I can give you all those we need to be in prayer for. Janice Aldridge is awaiting some test results and is in need of our prayer, so please pray for Janice. Robert Owens, we're celebrating, is back with us today. He had successful surgery this past week and gives thanks for prayers answered for his health. Mavis Stotts, brother-in-law, had a bad fall this week and is still in the hospital, Mavis, I'm assuming, so please be in prayer for Mavis and family, and particularly her brother-in-law. Dean Irving's brothers, you have two brothers, Dean, right? And both are in need of our prayers right now. His brother in Kinston is struggling with his one lung that's left after his cancer surgery and is in need of our prayers. His brother in Richmond will have a heart catheterization on Tuesday. So prayers for the Irving boys or sons. If you will pray for two of our members who are in the hospital at this time, Linda Bradley had back surgery yesterday, 5 hours of surgery. So please be in prayer for her. She's got 3 months of recovery ahead. So prayers for Linda. She is at Duke of Raleigh, and John McClellan is at Rex Hospital, and he has heard that he will have one of his toes amputated tomorrow. So please be in prayer for John. We have a couple of folks that we are expressing our sympathy towards. One listed here in the bulletin is Susan Bennett and all the Bennett Asa family. Lori Asa, Madge Tamori, passed on to eternal life on Monday, and we had her service of witness to the resurrection on Friday. Please be in prayer for that family as they grieve Lori's, as we grieve Lori's loss in our lives. And if you will pray for Daisy Lowry, this one is not listed in your bulletin, but Daisy's stepfather died, I believe it was, on Friday. Stepfather really liked our father to her. That service will be at Hayes Barton Baptist Church at 2 o'clock tomorrow. There's actually a visitation at 1 o'clock preceding the service at 2. So prayers for Daisy Lowry and family. Prayers of celebration for the Burke-Warren family. Henry and Denise Burke have their very first grandchild, who, by the way, is named Burke. And for Marjorie Honeycutt, this is her third great-grandchild. But at the same time, we need your prayers for healing, because Burke has been admitted back to the hospital with an infection. He is at Wake Med. He will be there for 10 more days on IV antibiotics. Does not appear to be life-threatening, but prayers are certainly needed for a little newborn Burke Warren. Those are the ones I'm remembering. Let me turn to you and see if you have others you'd like to lift up, prayers of concern or celebration. Yes, Jason. So Jason is asking for prayers for the family of Vincent Taft, a friend of Jason's who just come back from active duty in the Marines, and he and his Marine friend were killed in a car accident yesterday. Both 21 years old. Yes, Allison. This is where Allison teaches, so prayers for the whole. In critical condition. So prayers for these four girls in another tragic car accident. Prayers for their recovery. And as I look at Allison, I also say prayers for all our teachers who are starting back. Well, they've already started back, but who are welcoming. So Jane, Allison, I know I'm missing a number more. Yes, Aaron. So prayers for all our teachers who are welcoming students back tomorrow. Joette's now going to lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. Oh, loving God, you are a God who loves us and who promises to be with us. We thank you that you are a God who also calls us. We ask that you'd open our eyes so that we could see you, that we could see you in the faces of the people around us. Help us to know how to reach out to all the people who are in need within this congregation and within our community. We just ask that you would touch them with your love and your presence. Help those who are mourning the loss of loved ones to know that you still love them, that you are still with them, that you still care for them. Help us to know how to help those who are sick, Lord. We ask that your healing presence would be with them, that you would touch their bodies and restore their health and their life and their energy. Give their doctors and nurses and all the people who care for them wisdom to know what's wrong and how to heal it. And give the people who are sick patience and energy and desire to get well. And help us to reach out to them and provide the things that they need during their time of illness. Gracious God, we thank you for new beginnings and the new school year that is starting. We thank you for the students who will be returning to classes and for the teachers who will welcome them. And we pray especially for the Broughton community as they struggle with the condition of the students who were in the car accident. We pray that you would heal those four girls. Gracious God, we thank you for this time of new beginnings too, as we look at a new election season and as we think about all of the activities that will be happening this week. We just thank you, Lord, that we live in a country where we can vote and where we can go to the polls and choose our leaders. We ask that you'd be with all of us as we enter this election season and help us to talk about the issues and the things that we care about. Give us wisdom as we seek new leaders and new leadership. Gracious God, we just ask that you would be present in our lives and help us to be the disciples that you want us to be. Help us to be willing to stick with you through the good times and the bad times. And we just thank you, Lord, that even when we want to turn away, you reach out to us and you grab us back. We thank you, Lord, that you're constantly teaching us and that you're constantly leading us into new challenges, into new ways that we can grow and experience the true joy of your kingdom. Now we join together as we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As we continue our response to God's grace and God's love and God's blessings in our lives, let us bring before God our tithes, our lives, and our offerings. Gracious God, we ask that you would receive these gifts and bless them and use them that all the world might hear, might know, might live those words of life that you give. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
as we go into this world and face the chaos and confusion and heartbreak that is there, to whom can we go? Only Jesus. Only Jesus gives us those words of life. And so may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the communion and power of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you and all the world, now and forever. Amen.